So this evening's first Bible reading is taken Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9, which can be found on page 1180 in the Pew Bibles. Final exhortations. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your greatness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in any situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, which can be found on page 1002 of the Pew Bibles. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. The baptism and temptation of Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Father, we thank you for our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that gift of faith whereby we know he's here with us. And we pray that that presence would not be without effect in our own lives, but each of us might receive from you and from your word and depart this building this night with your peace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure many of you will know the very famous author Peter Aykroyd. This book, which I'm happy to leave at the back. If you speak nicely, I'll loan you my copy, but if you want to get details, just have a browse. It's called The Origins of the English Imagination. It's a fascinating book by this well-known author. I think he's written the biography of Dickens and done a social history of London and much else beside. Infuriatingly for me, and I kind of like these things that annoy me, he's not a Christian believer. He's a profound atheist, but he's a deep thinker. And one of the points I remember from this fascinating book, The Origins of the English Imagination, is how English people get to be English. Actually, it's quite a contemporary theme when you think about all that's going on in Europe and in government at the moment. But he makes the very profound point, speaking about the Christian church, and this is interesting because he's not a believer, he's an atheist, that if you think about it, for the first 1,000 or so years, the Christian church would have carried on, and especially so in this country, without any form of written word that we would have understood. Most of its message would have been communicated orally or visually. And there's much within our churches that we're surrounded even today that's visual, empowering to our imaginations and sensibilities. So without further ado, the image which we're thinking about this evening is that of the dove. And sometimes, as Mark Twain said of old, it's not the things in the Bible I don't understand I find hardest, it's the things I do understand I find hardest. And there's nothing particularly difficult to wrestle with in terms of understanding what our texts are on about this evening. The image is that of the dove. And the clear meaning and understanding of the image dove is the concept or the presence of peace. It's a lot more than the concept of peace. It's the actual reality of peace from God, or in fact, as we've had read from Philippians, the God of peace being in our midst. I want to mention four places where this word peace is found in the scriptures. They all speak quite profoundly about Jesus Christ. The first is there in the gospel reading, which Judy read to us. It's in Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verse 10. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being opened and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, the image of a dove. Some other translations have the Spirit came like a dove almost in bodily or shapely form. Namely, it wasn't a concept, it wasn't just an image, it was actually a physical, tangible presence. And just as the early disciples had a meal with Jesus and could see him and touch him, so there was something tangible upon the historic person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we've four propositions this evening. The first is peace on Jesus. I'm sure you've heard me speak on many occasions about the scandal of particularity. Peace rests on Jesus. No other person, no other creed, no other religion. It's just on Jesus. This peace rests as a dove in bodily form. Peace on Jesus, and then also in John's Gospel, peace from Jesus. John chapter 1, no need to turn it up, but I mention the verse, verses 32 and 33. Then John gave this testimony, referring to the same incident of the dove of peace coming upon Jesus. Then John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I wouldn't have known it was him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. The Spirit comes on Jesus like a dove, and it's on this person John points to and says, from this person, that's the second proposition, the Spirit on Jesus, the Spirit from Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes. A scandal, again, of particularity. The Holy Spirit of God will not come from Buddha, will not come from Hindu chants, will not come from the Quran, whilst there's much in the Muslim religion. The word literally means peace. That's what Islam means. But upon Jesus, and then according to John the Baptist, when they saw this Jesus, he said of this Jesus, he will baptize everyone who believes in him with the Holy Spirit. In other words, they get the dove. No other way. Peace from God is going to come. This is what the scripture says. First proposition, peace on Jesus. Secondly, and joyously for us, peace from Jesus. And then as the early church developed and they found that they too sent something of Christ with them by the power of the Holy Spirit, they met, they gathered, they chatted, they drew up creeds, they worshipped, they ate, they celebrated together. And they struggled to think, how are we going to contain this message through the Mediterranean world, through the world as we know it? And the Bible was started to be written. And Paul writes that this peace from God that we saw on Jesus, that comes from Jesus to each of his disciples, like a dove upon us of peace, will come in this way. Those words Adrian read for us from Philippians chapter 4. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds, and here's the important part, in Christ Jesus. Got to be one of the most profound pieces of applied theology. There's much in the stratosphere about trying to understand God, how his image can come in Jesus Christ. How do we get our head round these things? But how does it connect with little old me in my life, with my day-to-day living and my friends and my neighbours? Well, if I'm in Christ, I will have a peace that is beyond my understanding. We can't think this thing through. We can't feel it, but it comes from beyond ourselves. I was reminded recently of that great African missionary, Dr. Helen Rosevere, who wrote, amongst other things, the famous mission biography, autobiography, Give Me This Mountain. My daughter Amy was privileged a few years back to hear her speak. She died some years ago. She said, and this is an encouraging word, have you got to that point in your life where you are thanking God for those difficult things that happen to you, which you cannot understand, that he knows in his providence, he feels you can cope with and you can be stewards of. And you can thank him for those things that you don't understand. This peace of God will pass all our understanding, but it will keep and guard our minds in the knowledge and love of God. Peace is on Jesus. Real peace will only come from him. And for the troubles and struggles of everyday life, we can't work it out. But peace will come from him beyond our understanding. The fourth proposition, peace on Jesus, peace from him, peace in Jesus, is surely peace for Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Oh, when I was a teacher, I used to know the troublemakers at school. One of my children, Ali and I, grew up to know would be the one that would get the troublemakers' reports. I better not say which of the five it is. That really isn't fair. Troublemakers. Or any boss will know, if you give someone a job, you can think to yourself, if I give this person a job, I reckon all this sort of rubbish will happen. Or there'll be a lot of fussing and bothering. Or this just won't happen. Where if I give it to them, actually it will happen. Blessed are the peacemakers, not troublemakers, not anxiety makers, but peacemakers. And so when we truly have received peace from Jesus Christ, when we find ourselves in difficult situations with others, we'll be blessed if we somehow find ourselves to be peacemakers. Sometimes I think the Church of England is right when it recognises we need reminding of these things. Just like we gather together to sing praises, to hear God's word. The dismissal at the end of each communion service is, as Sally will say later, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Where there's trouble, we're meant to be agents of peace. Sometimes I've found when I'm in a Christian meeting or a public meeting, there are some people that walk in the room and you just think, oh no, what's going to happen now? Other people walk in the room and just suddenly the whole room and the atmosphere changes. And it just seems that their peace, which is beyond our understanding, can only come from this Jesus once it's received from him, that peace permeates and radiates to everyone else. What better prayer to say together than the famous prayer of St. Francis? It's not my favourite hymn or song, I have to say, but it's a good one to pray now. That's why I've given you these this evening, page 691. Not the page number, I'm sorry, the hymn number, 691. I thought what we'd do is we'd say each of these verses together, and then we'll say the chorus at the end. So a moment to be at peace, make sure you've got your page number. And may these not just be words that are said in church, but a means of addressing the one who dispenses the dove of peace and the Spirit. And of course, whilst this is a prayer that we might give peace, let's also be those who receive peace this night, which passes all our understanding. So we won't say the chorus three times, we'll say the verses and then the chorus at the end. Together, make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. We seek once again the power of your Spirit that we might be people of peace and that our lives might permeate and be receptive to all your goodness and your love and your peace flowing from Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.